It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
The five.
Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, Martha McCallum, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. China caught red-handed lying about its giant spy balloon hovering over America. It was last spotted this morning in northeast Kansas, and that's after it was seen loitering in Montana, which is home to our nuclear silos and intercontinental ballistic missiles. Beijing claims it is a civilian aircraft used for meteorological research. That got knocked off course by bad weather. But the Pentagon says that's a bunch of BS.
We know this is a Chinese balloon and that it has the ability to maneuver. The balloon has changed its course, which is, again, why we're monitoring it. The balloon continues to move eastward and is currently over the center of the continental United States. Again, we currently assess that the balloon does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground at this time. We'll continue to monitor and review options. We assess that it'll probably be over the United States for a few days.
So why the hell hasn't Joe Biden shot this thing down yet? Defense officials have advised the president not to take it out, fearing it could cause debris to fall and put people in harm's way.
Any potential debris field would be significant and potentially cause civilian injuries or deaths or significant property damage. So, again, this is part of the calculus in terms of our overall assessment. But again, we'll continue to monitor it. We'll continue to review our options and keep you updated as able.
But Republicans say Biden looks weak with each second he keeps this communist balloon in the air.
Communist balloon.
We ought to bring this darn thing down. We have the capabilities and tools to do that. I'm confident that we could have done so safely. I think we probably still can do so safely.
They could have shot that balloon down, and the biggest risk might have been hitting a cow, a prairie dog, or an antelope.
This is a brazen act. And so at the political level, we have to push back. We have to defend American sovereignty. And we have to make clear to the Chinese that we're not going to tolerate this.
They're overflying our nuclear sites, and they keep getting away with it because we let them. There's no consequence.
That tape?
There's lots of questions, but the commander-in-chief is awfully quiet.
Mr. President, when and how will you remove the balloon? When and how will you remove the balloon, Mr. President?
Folks, we're going to get to work. Thank you for coming.
Well, that last question, what is your message to China, I guess, Harold, is that we're going to stop Anthony Blinken from going over there. But the real question is, do we know how long that balloon has been here? And what, I mean, the way I see it, it looks like somebody read, someone was on a commercial plane and noticed it first. But now we hear that it's been there since Tuesday. And today's Friday. Why would they allow this thing to stay there?
I don't know the answer to that. And there are more questions, Judge, and I think you've raised some of them, and we'll raise some of them around the table. I think for me, and again, it's good to be back around the table. I've been away for a few days. For me, I was curious, and Secretary Blinken, whom I respect and like and know, said that when we detected the balloon, we, at that point, prevented it from being able to take pictures and collect information. I would have two questions. One, when did we detect it? And two, do we believe it actually was collecting information before it was detected? Two, I think the president, it would behoove the president to brief congressional leaders, Democrat, Republican alike. And it would behoove someone, perhaps the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of State or both, or even the president, to give a briefing about this, to give some comfort and confidence that what we can all assume and give the benefit of the doubt that it's being handled. But I think it's important they do that. The notion of it being shot down, I think, is something that will only, that talk will only increase. if we don't get some information as the American people, those of us in the press, those who are concerned about this, about why they're not doing that. I thought the Brigadier General was fine, but we need something more comprehensive, I think, to give people a sense. Because at the heart of this, if we don't send a strong message to China, and in a relationship where mutual interests are the centerpiece of a relationship, with behavior like this, you violate that relationship. And I think Democrats, Republicans, put that aside, Americans want to know what this balloon is doing, how long it's been there, and if it caused or has caused any harm to our national security. Well, These are all legitimate questions.
Those are the questions. So I'll go to you, Martha. My sources tell me that this balloon, they can essentially assess the trajectory. They can study the currents. There's a way to take it down. It doesn't have to be shot down. They can take it down as long as it's over an area where, you know, there's not going to be like Los Angeles or New York City, major catastrophe. They haven't done that. How are we so sure of what this balloon is doing, especially since it is over seeing areas that are where our nuclear sites are?
Well, it's been across a couple of areas that it should have been pretty easy to do that, over Alaska, apparently, for quite a while, then over Montana. And you saw, I had a conversation earlier with Senator Steve Daines. He said, you know, that's why we call this big sky country.
Right.
We have plenty of open space in Montana. You know, when the people who live in the state want it to be shot down over their state, I think that's something that we need to think about. I also think that what would have, you know, for a lot of people who feel very uncomfortable about this, the greatest thing you could have heard from the president would be an early morning announcement. You know, last night at or early this morning at 4:20, we disabled this invader Chinese spy balloon because the Pentagon, from their own lips, said this is a surveillance vehicle, a surveillance balloon. And we took it down. We took it down safely. We have the technology to do exactly that. We're examining it. We're taking a look at what's on here. And if it's innocuous, we can return it and the equipment to the Chinese government and make sure that this never happens again. Because if it ever does, we will be doing the same thing again. Because what we heard also this afternoon from, I was watching General Stavridis, and he said, expect more of these. Expect more balloons to cross over the country, gathering information about our silos that keep our intercontinental ballistic missiles. So, I mean, the message I think that a lot of Americans are going to take right now is that, you know, the southern border's open,
right,
and the skies above America are open. So I'm not quite sure where people feel like we have real sovereignty in this country at this moment based on just the facts on the ground.
You know, Jesse, I mean, they are over areas where, you know, that are very significant. They've got a front row view to those areas. China is buying land in some of these areas, not far from these areas. China's in the universities. You know, China is not cooperating with us about Wuhan. And we're just letting them fly a balloon over our nation. I mean, is this a literal trial balloon to see what we would do if something real happened?
Pop it, bust it up, do whatever you need to do to it. Imagine you had a neighbor you hated who tried to sleep with your wife, stole all your Amazon boxes, and killed your grandmother with a virus, and then floated a little drone over your backyard. You're just going to sit there and watch this thing and say, you know what? It's just a weather balloon. We're monitoring it. No, you're going to shoot that thing out of the sky. Why not shoot it over Montana?
Right.
It hits a barn. Let's say it hits Fred's barn. Fred's famous. In Montana, there's two people that live in Montana. That is your barn that it lands on. The feds reimburse you the money, and then you set up a little museum for the rest of your life and live off that. You do Good Morning America, you do Fox and Friends, that's it. Canada's supposed to be an ally, Judge. They're just going to watch. What is he looking at, the truckers? Keep your eyes open, Trudeau. You're supposed to be our boy. You're just going to let the balloon float by? Biden, the commander-in-chief, was overruled by the generals. If you're the commander-in-chief and you say shoot down the balloon and they say, Mr. President, go sit down and have a snack, that's not normal. You shoot that down. I don't care what the generals say. Knock it out. Also, once you knock it out, you can collect all the intel. We don't know what it is, Judge. How do we know it's not pushing spores. How about COVID-22, 23, whatever year it is? We have no idea what this thing is. Bring it down before it gets to New Jersey, because I'm about to lick one off.
Well, you know, Greg, in 2001, there was a problem between the United States and China. We had a flight that was, they said, in their airspace. We said it wasn't. We were forced to land. And they took that plane, and they studied that plane for the intelligence. They kept our people there for 11 days. And the turnabout on our side is like, hey, no problem. They're collecting stuff on the weather.
I think the bright side in all of this is at least we know the balloon was made in China. Because it could be really, really worse. I heard Joe Biden just announced that we will be shooting it, but in the leg. Has anybody considered steering it towards the Space Needle? Seems to me that's the thing I would do rather than shoot it, you know. And it could also be Fang Fang. You never know. Valentine's Day is coming up. This was going to be a little surprise. But, you know, here's the thing. A little surprise for Swalwell. Anyway, how dare we question or speculate on the origins of this Chinese balloon? How dare we? If we can't bring up the origins of COVID because that was considered racist, how is that not racist? The origin of the balloon, you know, why should you be allowed to do that? Why is it any different? And about what about that point that the Chinese keep saying about everything? Everything's unintended. This was unintended. The fentanyl poisonings, unintended, obviously. COVID, unintended. The spy balloon, unintended. I'm beginning to think they're not tending to a lot of things. Everything's an accident between their badly made goods, COVID, fentanyl, and new spy balloons. I'm beginning to think maybe LeBron James should question their brown-nosing allegiances. Let's send them our own bad stuff. What is, you know, mom jeans, coconut water, boy bands?
How dare you? That stuff's good.
But lastly, in a serious note, how is it that the Bidens treat a spy balloon from our most potent adversary far better than the Trump supporters? You know, too bad they weren't this gun shy with Ashley Babbitt. You know, they might shoot a balloon down if they find a red hat in it.
Yep. Well said. Well said. And I'm not sure this would have happened under a different president. Anyway, up next, somebody get the squad a therapy llama. The radical reps throwing a temper tantrum over Ilhan Omar. Therapy llama. Boy, I got you on my mind.
GetRefunds.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Members of the squad exploding with rage after Congresswoman Ilhan Omar got voted off the Foreign Affairs Committee. The progressive representatives saying that racism is why Republicans removed Omar and not her history of anti-Semitic remarks.
Congressman Omar, I am so sorry,
sis,
that our country is failing you today through this chamber.
Republicans are waging a blatantly Islamophobic and racist attack on Congresswoman Omar. And I've said it before, I will say it again. The white supremacy happening is unbelievable.
This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology when my life was threatened. Thank you.
Omar insists that being kicked off the committee will not silence her.
My leadership and voice will not be diminished if I am not on this committee for one term. My voice will get louder and stronger, and my leadership will be celebrated around the world as it has been.
And AOC later escalating her attacks on Republicans for this move.
It's uncomfortable. Serving with people who engage in what many experts deem stochastic terrorism. I've consistently had to ride in 20,000-pound armored vehicles in you know, engaging in some of the most gruesome threats that you can imagine that were incited by Republican members.
Okay. Harold, let's start with you. Rashida Tlaib said that the country's failing her, doing what it is best at, weaponizing hate against a black, beautiful Muslim woman. Is this what's happening here?
So I've said for a while, I think that the back and forth between the parties and payback will never stop if someone doesn't become an adult in the room. Offensive language and behavior in politics, if that's the standard for not being able to serve on a committee, there would not be many people would not be serving on committees in the Congress, because someone always deems someone's language as offensive, or they are opposing it. I don't see that the racial part of it is not something I see. I'm quick to point out race when I think race is an issue. But I think here, Democrats were guilty in the Congress before in taking off one or two Republicans because they didn't like their language. They didn't like their words. I think the words of Marjorie Taylor Greene and others I found offensive, and I found deeply disturbing. But I'm an old-fashioned guy when it comes to politics. I think the way you defeat someone in politics is you actually defeat them in politics. You defeat them at the election. And unless you do something that violates the standards of the House and their rules around, if you get indicted, you can't serve on a committee, or your committee membership or standing is in peril or in question. But in this instance, I don't understand. And I hope at some point that adult-like behavior comes back, because if Democrats win the majority in 24, 26, or whenever they win it, they'll win it again. We're going to have this same kind of thing happen probably. And I just hope and pray that adults and adult behavior emerges again in the Congress.
Shanine, what do you say to that? I mean, does there come a point where people say, look, I totally disagree with Omar, and I think she should be, you know, she's basically being canceled for anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's happened here.
Look, let's be clear on this. The Democrats did it. And, you know, I think the criticism should have come when the Democrats did it, because we told them that they're establishing the precedent. OK, you establish the precedent. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. But what I find most fascinating about this is that, like, Rashida Tlaib is saying she's a black, beautiful woman. She's an Islamic woman. Intersectionality is not a defense that you can use to every argument that someone makes. She was taken off because they had to pass a congressional resolution because of her attacks on Israel and Jews, the Benjamins, and all the other stuff, and supporting BDS, which is a State Department-defined act of anti-Semitism. You know, so we're talking about an ally of the United States, and she has crossed the line many times. So this has nothing to do with her color. It has nothing to do with her religion. If that were the case, Maxine Waters wouldn't be sitting on committees. Okay, so let's make it clear what this is about. This is about a woman who has displayed behavior that people believe she shouldn't be on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and she shouldn't have that kind of information. And, you know, no intersectionality argument is a defense to that.
So, Jesse, Kevin McCarthy says that he's going to form a bipartisan group to create a House code of conduct so that there's agreement on these kinds of things when people are potentially going to be removed from committees for their actions.
That sounds like a good idea to me. I like that. I'm with the judge. Race is now such a dodge. It's not about the issues. It's just about race. I'm terrible at math, but I think I can handle this. If two white guys got kicked off committee, Schiff and Swalwell, then she was treated just like the two white guys. Why is it about race with her, but it's not about race with these guys? Schiff didn't say, oh, I'm getting kicked off because I'm Jewish. He could have said that. Swalwell said, I got kicked off because I'm short. You could always use something that has nothing to do with the issue to make yourself more of a victim. And the fact that Omar had her staff go to Kinko's and blow up a photograph of herself as a young girl, life size, and put it next to herself while she spoke on the House floor. The ego to do that. I would not do that. Donald Trump would not do that. Greg Gutfeld would never do that, although the placard would be smaller. It takes a certain type of ego to speak in front of a large life-size pictures of yourself and make it all about her. Mm-hmm. It's all about her. And have you ever heard the squad that upset when their constituents get shot? When one of their constituents gets shoved into a subway track, when someone ODs from cartel fentanyl, they never get upset. They got this upset
when one of their squad members got removed from a committee. And that tells you it's all about them and has nothing to do with us, the voters.
Yeah. And it's all about her gender and her skin color and her religion. Greg.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, she was booted from a foreign affairs committee. But to be honest, she'd be better on the family affairs committee. She is the luckiest person in America. She is a refugee who was able to use the generosity of this system and the tolerance and the open-mindedness of the American public to live above the rules. The case in point is I make this joke. I've been making this joke for I don't know how long about her husband and her brother. Do they ever respond? They don't have to. Could you imagine if there was a strong, not debunked rumor, not even a rumor, assumption that a Republican married a sibling? Where the Washington Post, democracy would die in the darkness if we didn't cover that. But in this case, it's like, you know, you can make a joke about it. Nobody even just like, we get it. Too bad. So what? You know, but going back to what the judge said, you know, she voted against people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gosar. And then if you look at the January 6th committee, where basically they picked and choose the team. So if you're going to make a if you're going to do that and the goose gander argument, I've said it before, classified documents probably didn't mean anything for Trump or for Biden, but they made a big deal about it. Yep. And the only way you can teach Democrats a lesson is to give it back to them. I don't like that strategy, but the fact is it's the only way to get them to stop making big deals out of stupid things. This is a trend that happened with Trump. The inclination now is to fight fire with fire. Mm-hmm. This might be only the only way to get certain Democrats to behave, because turning the other cheek, all you end up with is with a bruised butt.
And that's why you have to impeach Joe Biden.
Exactly. Impeach him now.
That's equity. True equity.
That's true equity.
This can go on forever. Coming up next, the latest disturbing example of youth violence in America. This is just an absolutely unbelievably awful story. A 9-year-old girl beaten by 2 boys on her school bus.
Research shows people remember
Youth violence is way out of control. New gut-wrenching video shows 2 boys viciously beating a 9-year-old girl while on the school bus. It's hard to watch. The girl's mom says 2 adults were on the bus, but no one even tried to stop the attack. She's pressing charges against the middle school boys, while the school district says one arrest has been made. And in Georgia, 9th graders facing charges after brutally attacking a teacher. The teacher suffered multiple injuries, including a broken leg. Schools fear these types of situations are becoming all too common.
Students are out of control. There is no excuse for the violence. There is no excuse for children who are coming to our schools daily and wreaking havoc so others cannot learn.
Judge, what's going on when there's adults on the bus? They have to have seen it. I mean, it's a blizzard of punches. They have to have heard it.
But, you know, Jesse, that's the question, isn't it? How many adults were on that bus? You've got the bus driver, and usually there's a bus monitor. I remember there used to be monitors on the bus. Who knows after the pandemic and with the school budget cutbacks and all that, whether or not they have that. But the truth is that nobody's standing up for this little girl. She's 9 years old. She's beaten by 2 other kids. Look, this is going to continue to happen, and it is painful to watch this. I mean, this boy is going at her, you know, full throttle. They're talking about curfews and they're talking about metal detectors. I'll tell you what they need to talk about. Reversing raise the age. What they did across this country was raise the age of criminal responsibility so you're not responsible until you're 18. Damn it, lower the age. Kids are smarter than they used to be. They're more violent than they used to be. And it's about time we showed some consequences. There's no consequences. And the mother in this case was told by the school after she reported the bullying before this beating, you know, we really can't do anything about it. You should take your kids to another school. The teachers have given up. Where's the COVID money? Invest the COVID money in cops and run that school like an organized school.
How would you have handled the situation if you're the school administrator? You just kick this cool kid out of the school district, put him in juvie. What do? Charge him?
Well, I think the judge raises some good points about whether or not we should lower the age. I think parents, I hear parents, and I'm a parent who, and I want to be involved in how my kids are taught at school. You got to be involved also what happens at home. I think parents have to teach kids, actively and consistently teach kids that violence is wrong. Studies show that kids who are taught that are far likely more to avoid violence than not. But there are kids that are simply out of control. I mean, the violence issue is so nuts. What's so amazing to me, we did a story months ago, if not a year ago now, about something in Philadelphia on the subway where people watched a person be violated, a woman be violated by someone on and no one did anything. These kids are filmed this like this was some sort of video game recording, and we're going to watch it later of some sort. So there has to be some combination of what the judge said. And I think even thinking about holding parents liable for their kids. So I would not want that kid in my school. And I don't know where you send a kid like that. And should they disclose that to the school that the kid goes to? They absolutely should.
Yep. Well, back in the day, this is how it would have been handled. The father of the girl goes and visits the boy's house, knocks on the door and asks to speak to that kid's dad. That's how you handle it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think a measure of that probably needs to be in play again. But I would go back to the Obama administration, actually, because we did stories on this back then about the elimination of detention and expelling students. Right. And principals could no longer do that. It was considered, that it was racist in some way, or that it was picking on the wrong kids and they should be able to stay in the classroom. As a result, you have a lowering of the education level for all the kids in the class because there's absolutely no discipline. Yeah. So they're not learning anything. Some of them are just in there trying to stay safe throughout the course of the day or the bus ride home. But we have to empower principals and teachers. Teachers have classrooms that are totally out of control, and the principal doesn't have their back. The parents don't have their back. You need to be able to say, look, if my kid beats someone up, he can stay home for 3 days. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to have expelling and detention. There's no punishment whatsoever. And, you know, you also have to ask the question about this girl who's pummeling her teacher. I don't know what happens at home, but I bet it's not good. And she probably learned that behavior from someone in her family.
She broke the teacher's leg.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty vicious injury. Greg.
Yeah, I was thinking, before I get to my serious points, that, okay, so Harold, you graduated high school in 88?
88.
I was in 83. I went to an all-guy school. Whenever a fight broke out, people would just surround it and shout, fight, fight, fight,
fight, fight, fight.
You know what I mean? But now it's different.
I'm getting excited.
Now it's different. It's like they did. But it's like, so this existed. This existed. Although this video is a commercial for homeschooling and for school choice. But this sort of stuff existed. It feels like there's more of it, but that's because we've got hundreds of millions of smartphones, and everybody's now Martin Scorsese, taping a brawl at Arby's and putting it up on World Star Hip Hop, if that still exists. But what's worse, what's now the fight, fight, fight element is the smartphone. That's the escalator. As long as that's there, people forget about breaking it up. They're not broke. Nobody wants you to film a fight breaking up. They want to see the fight. So everybody there ends up because they're basically saying fight, fight, fight with their phones. So what happens is the schools become like a prison yard. There's nobody wants to break up a fight in a prison yard. You let it go. You let it go. I think we've lost a generation that doesn't know how to resolve conflict because now they enjoy it. And it's something that you could carry into your work life. You know, there's a lot of fights that we see that don't involve kids, right? Parking lots and restaurants. Those are all adults, but they were once kids. And I think we're going to have more of that because we've lost the art of manner. I hate to say this, but manners. Oh. How to act in public. Like, do you notice that? You see that this goes back to even just somebody not giving up their seat to a pregnant lady.
Right.
Two guys sitting there, manspread.
So true.
Or two. Yeah. Really large women who are eating themselves to death. They're in high school and they don't help anybody. It seems like there's just a callousness in our culture that has, and I think this is the fight, 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 you know?
Or like a celebrity that makes a big deal about something at a hotel lobby or somewhere like that. I mean, they don't know how to behave, these people. The fastest is up next.
Wait, is that me?
Let's see it for the girls from around the way.
Absolutely. Welcome back. Time for the fastest. First up, the office tried to warn us about the dangers of relying on GPS while driving.
The machine knows.
This is the mic.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's
stop
not me.
There's no mic here.
Now new research claims that parts of our brains actually turn off when we rely on GPS behind the wheel. There's been a lot of laughter around the table. Martha, is this, you experienced this before?
I think it's probably true that your brain turns off a little bit. I mean, I remember when you used to have like folded up maps in the glove compartment and they would kind of fall apart and you had to open them up, right? And then I remember MapQuest where you would put in the direct and then you'd print it out. And at least then you had to kind of look at it and think about where you were going to go. Now you don't have to think about anything. And it's surprising that I don't end up in the drink because, I don't think I can get anywhere without my GPS.
Greg, you recall that segment at the office. Did you?
No, that's actually based on a real thing.
Oh, that's what you were saying.
People have it driven into lakes or onto train tracks. But this GPS brain is not a flaw. This is evolution. It's not any different than learning other technologies, whether it's learning to write or learning even to speak. Right? I mean, you had, I think it was Rogan was talking about before writing was introduced, the skill of memorization for humans was super high because you had to memorize everything. But now once you had the ability to write it down, that is a technology, then you don't need it anymore. So we're evolving towards a cyborg destiny where we're part man, part machine. We have this. It's not nature against nerd. It's not an attack on nature. This is our nature. We should just embrace it.
Judge?
I don't know what Greg was talking about.
Because you're on your phone.
You know why I'm on my phone?
She was part computer.
Because then. I want to show you a picture. My girlfriend followed the GPS until her front wheels went over like a cliff and the back wheels were on the road. I mean, it literally, the GPS took her to the edge of the cliff. She crawled out the back door because she was afraid if she came out the front door. That's why I was looking for this picture.
Do you know a sexist would ask, does it only happen to women? A sexist would ask that.
Oh, no. Only you would ask that. That's you asking.
A sexist would ask, is she single?
Yes.
So you want to marry that woman who's about to drive her car off the cliff?
There's something cute about that. My mother-in-law asked me how I get into the city now, and I said, I don't know. I don't know. What do you take? Do you take 78? I said, I don't know. But Greg's right. Your mind is now freed up to think of other things besides navigation. Mm-hmm. You can think about yourself.
Yes.
You can think.
Think about Greg.
Yeah, yes. You think about Greg or a rug you want to buy.
Topic two. If you're feeling sick, don't do this. 2 in 5 employees will sniffle and cough around the office just to prove to their coworkers that they're actually under the weather instead of just taking a sick day. Judge, have you done that recently?
No, but I'll tell you why they do it. Does that mean I did it? They do it to prove to people they really are sick. You don't want people to think you're just lazy and want to stay home and eat candy, dark chocolate.
You've been hacking up along this
very
entire
specific.
Show. You didn't have to come
weeks,
in today. I mean, we could have had Tarlov or Geraldo. We get it.
Thank you.
I'm not big on sick days. I don't think that, you should necessarily should have like the 6 sick days every year
especially
or something.
If you're
then
on
people
TV.
Say like, "Oh, I'm taking a sick day tomorrow,"
which I think is really bogus.
I don't have any. So we just come in and cough all over each other and push through. I mean, that's the way we work.
Greg, I mean, Mr. Gutfeld, do you do this with employees at Gutfeld? Do you want them to come in and prove that they're sick?
Well, in television, what you've learned is the sick day is actually what they call getting your Botox. Right? Oh, I can't come in because your face is swollen. You can't come in. I have a problem. When I was running magazines, I hated the sick voice.
When they
would call. The person could be sick. Just say you're sick. But don't put the sick voice on because it just makes you you cringe.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you get Botox?
With this beautiful face, I wouldn't touch this.
Yeah,
Jesse.
You don't want to mess with that.
No, this is I got what God gave me.
You've been off a lot of Fridays.
Speaking of Friday, fan mail Friday is up next.
Who's your doctor?
Teeth sensitivity is.
Yeah, fan. Fan Mail Friday. First one from Frenchie. What have you recently become obsessed with, Martha? Don't say me.
Okay. You know what? I'm kind of obsessed with theater and Broadway shows again because I feel like there was such a long period of time we couldn't go to them. So now I'm excited about live music and theater. So that's the kind of thing that I'm looking at on Instagram.
That's the worst.
Funny Girl, the Neil Diamond show I'm going to go see.
Oh, your poor husband. Your poor husband to be dragged to that madness. No man likes a musical, right, Jesse?
I've never
Unless
been to one.
Neil Diamond. You've
Neil
never
Diamond's
been to
amazing.
I usually try to leave as soon as possible.
Oh, I did that once. I got in so much trouble.
I left at Hamilton at intermission.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I would too.
It was
you
long.
Not only that, the rapping is overrated.
I mean, it was all right.
It wasn't originally, it wasn't overrated.
Not even a, like,
probably is now.
Not
is
even
that a musical?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I would call it a musical. What are you obsessed with?
I want to get this thing for my fireplace. You know, it's
wood.
Like, no, you would know, Harold. It's like a brass thing that goes out like that with like leather tufted seats.
Yes, a Fender.
Why would Harold
Fender.
Know that?
Yeah,
is it because he's black? God, you're racist.
Not because he's black. Because he probably has one.
What? You can't find one?
I want to get one for a good price, Judge.
Oh.
All right, Harold, we know that. What are you
obsessed
with?
Did you have a big new fireplace?
I'll tell you, I've gotten back watching this Netflix stream. This Fauda fourth season is on, and
You're
I can't.
Fauda?
I love Fauda. So I'm halfway through the fourth season.
I want to watch that. I've heard Fauda is excellent.
It's good.
Yeah, I need to watch Fauda.
Sounds like a cheese. Judge.
That's Gouda.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm obsessed, and Martha, remind me, I want to go to Philharmonics again. I'm really focused on the Philharmonics.
Yes.
But more than that, I love
family.
To cook. What?
The Philharmonics. I see them once a year.
Okay, but I'm obsessed with recipes that have no carbs in them but are really, really good.
Good luck.
Yeah, there are few
and
far between. Huh?
No. Is there such a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a few, like, soups and stuff like that.
I get obsessed with everything. If I find a restaurant, I go to it every single day, and then I don't do it again. Do you do that?
I have done that. I ate the same lunch for, like, actually.
What is it? What do you eat?
It's just like this really nice salad from downstairs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for about a year.
It has chicken in it and edamame. Which one do you have?
I don't do the edamame.
Why?
I do the balls. They're not actual meatballs.
The balls?
What are they called? Falafels?
Do you know what
balls?
They're called? Falafels.
Yeah, balls.
Yeah, falafels.
Oh, falafel.
I never remember that.
God,
is that Lebanese?
They're quite tasty.
It's Middle Eastern.
You mean like Ohio?
Just like, get me out of here. I don't know what's
Let's
going on.
Let's get out of here. One more thing's up next.
One more thing.
Family's just very important.
It's time now for One More Thing. Greg, you go first.
All right. Tonight, 11 p.m. This is a great show. But isn't it always a great show? We got Kennedy, Chadwick Moore, Cat Timp, and Tyrus. 11 p.m. You missed that. You're dead to me. Let's do this. Greg's Drunk Panda News. You know, this is a disturbing, sad trend that nobody's covering except for the people here on the 5. Special Report won't touch it. They don't have the guts.
Oh.
But there's been a disturbing rise in drunk pandas. As you can see, they're falling everywhere. This is at the Smithsonian Zoo. They have been boozing it up nonstop. And you want to know why?
Why?
They're notoriously sexless. They aren't sleeping with each other. So instead, they just booze themselves all night, all day. And then they fall and they embarrass themselves. Other animals at the zoo won't speak to them. They're filthy. They don't use the public bathrooms. They just do it out in the open. They panhandle. They do terrible things. Anyway, so send your money to me.
Okay. Are you done?
No, I could go on.
Okay, it's my turn. This is the quietest place in the world. There's a room that was built by Microsoft. It's pure silence, so you hear your own heartbeat, bones grinding, and even blood flowing, with no sound from the outside world coming in. The total and utter silence will gradually turn into an unbearable ringing in your ears. No one has been able to stay in it for more than an hour.
Oh,
and I'll bet you couldn't for more than 10 minutes. Greg, silence is golden. All right, Jesse.
That's a challenge. All right. So what happens if you're going to the Super Bowl and you're playing in the Super Bowl, but your wife is extremely pregnant? 38 weeks. Well, Jason Kelce, our center, she's 38 weeks pregnant, the wife. He's bringing the wife with the OBGYN, whatever that stands for, to the Super Bowl.
And if she delivers at the game, she delivers at the game, so be it. And that's the kind of player we want on the Eagles. Tonight, Jesse, we're in primetime. China's balloon heading for Chicago.
Better have a good center.
Go, Harold.
Obstetrician, gynecologist, I think that's what that stands for. Yeah, but thank you. Yeah, a Michigan woman is being repaid for her kindness after being faced with a very, very tough decision. Diane Gordon's, her car broke down a few years ago, so she's had to walk to work every day, 5 days a week, over 2 miles to her job. On one of the walks, she stopped at a gas station for a snack. She found $15,000 in a Ziploc bag. Could have changed her life. What did she do? She took it to the local police, turned it in. Now the local police, the wife of a local police officer, is helping her raise money. I think they've raised over $40,000 so far to help her buy a car. Listen to this.
40,000.
Never return.
Take a look. J.J. Franks shot a layup, a free throw, a three-pointer, and then a half-court shot. He's in seventh grade, and he won $10,000.
What?
Look, he just went one after the other. He got every single one.
Amazing.
And the crowd went wild.
That's it for us. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have a great week.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.